Take some time for prayer here. Number of prayer requests to just remind you of here. Alba Vili asked if we would pray for her nephew. He's in some legal issues, and she just asked us if we would pray for him, especially this week. His name is Ramon Flores, and so we want to remember to pray for him this week as he's in some legal situations. And also want to pray for Frida Thompson, as she's going to be having surgery this week on Thursday over in Marion General. And so just remember Frida as you pray this week and what she's going through. And we want to remember Scott Lanham as he is traveling up north in Canada. Pray for his safety. Continue to pray for Pastor Gossman's sister-in-law, Charlotte, as she recovers from a stroke. And just wonder if there be any other prayer requests you want to mention here tonight. Yes, Bob. Okay. Continue to pray for Joyce and her health needs. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Ron. Okay, so Ron lost a cousin just this morning. Okay, the Wythe family. Remember them for comfort and his family. So remember that. Anybody else? Prayer requests you want to mention here tonight? Yes, Ron. Okay, so remember Ron's brother Chris and his health needs as well. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Bob. Okay, so remember this family, family friend of Bob's, Rucker family. Wife passed away, so I want to pray for that family. Anybody else tonight? Other prayer requests you have? All right, let's bow our heads and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we're able to meet here tonight and lift up these requests to you. We want to pray for these individual needs that have been mentioned. We think of Mrs. Vili's nephew, Ramon, as she's asked us to pray. We pray that you would give wisdom and protection as he's in this situation this week. We just lift him up to you and ask that you would help him. We pray, Lord, for those that are traveling. Think of Scott. We pray that you give him safety. Also pray for his friends that he's going with. You know, he's asked that we pray for these ones that do not know you. We pray that you give him open doors of witness there. We pray also for those who are not feeling well today. We think of Joyce and her health. She has continued to struggle. We pray that you would strengthen her even tonight, help her to feel better. And Lord, we pray for these ones that have lost loved ones. Think of Ron's cousin's family. We pray for comfort for him. We think of this Rucker family that Bob mentioned that lost a wife and mother. We pray for that family and ask that you would just minister your grace to them, your comfort. We think also of Pastor Gossman's sister-in-law, Charlotte, as she recovers from the stroke. We pray that you would help her and her family. And we think of Ron's brother, Chris, as he's not well. We thank you, Lord, that you know these needs, and we lift them up to you. You know, they are on our hearts tonight, and Lord, we pray that you would just help us tonight to focus on what you have for us. Give us understanding as we come to your word tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us throughout this week as we are here at the beginning of yet another week. We pray that you would direct our paths. We want to commit ourselves to you and acknowledge you tonight. even as we start this week. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. I gave a handout here, and I didn't draw this, but does anybody not have this handout that I passed out? Walker might have some more. Do you have any more, Walker? Okay. All right, so these girls in the front, they're going to need one. Anybody else need one of these? Raise your hand if you don't have one. There's a handout that goes along with the message here tonight and with the whole book of Daniel. And this handout is designed by a man named Clarence Larkin. He was a Baptist pastor who lived in Pennsylvania, and it was made almost 100 years ago. And so this itself is a piece of history here. But he wrote a lot of these timelines and tried to summarize some of the Bible into these things. And on the one side is a summary of the entire book of Daniel. And you can see on the left side the chapter numbers, kind of pictures all the way through the whole book. And where we are tonight is chapter 7. And you notice on the far left that there are two basic divisions to the book of Daniel. The first is historical, and the second is prophetical. And so we've just come through the historical section, and we have been over some of these stories, these true stories, about how God worked in the life of Daniel and his friends. And so now we're transitioning here into the second section, the prophetical section, and that begins with chapter 7. And I'm going to read a portion of this, and we're not going to cover the whole thing tonight, but I am going to start here by reading just the first 14 verses. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I'm going to go ahead and read a few more verses here. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. So we've looked at the first six chapters of Daniel, and as we've read through those, you probably felt like you've heard them before. Probably you have. And, probably the children have heard those before. Daniel, I'm sure, is taught in our Sunday school classes. And but as we come here to chapter 7, my guess is that chapter 7 through 12 are not as common as in our Sunday school curriculum. And that's because they are a little bit different format. They're not the stories that kind of draw in the children especially. They are visions. They are symbolic and often a little bit hard to understand. So we start here at verse 1, and that takes us back to the time in Belshazzar's reign when this vision was received. Daniel received this at this particular time. And remember, Belshazzar was the king that received the handwriting on the wall. He was the final king, along with his father, Nabonidus, the co-regents of Babylon, who were the last kings. And so it was during that period of time when Daniel was given this, this vision. And that was a critical time for Daniel. Daniel, remember, had been through a number of regime changes, number of changes in king. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, and then Nebuchadnezzar died, and there were several kings that came after Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, Nabonidus and Belshazzar came, and they were both ruling. There might have been a little more stability. But this dream was given at a time when perhaps there were some questions in the minds of God's people. What's happening on the political horizon here? There's change that's going on. And maybe even more than that, what's happening with God's intention for Israel? Israel had been placed into captivity. The prophet Jeremiah said it'd be 70 years, and it's getting closer to that time. And so there's questions going on here. And so God grants this vision, which ultimately gives comfort and reassurance to God's people that God is in control. Even in the political sphere, even in the nations of the world, God knows what's going to happen, and we may look at things and wonder what is going on, but God definitely has a plan, and He is acting in the best interests of His people here. Now, I've given you this chart, and you might be a little scared by this chart. There's a lot of detail on this chart, on the back as well. What do all these things mean? It kind of depicts some of this chapter here. I want to say that, this is a difficult chapter. It's a little bit hard to understand. And in fact, Daniel himself had a hard time. Daniel had a headache. After this dream, he woke up and his head was spinning. And so, before we jump in here, I want to give you two suggestions that we see in this chapter for understanding these prophecies. And I think these are important observations from this text. And the first is what we see Daniel doing over in verse 16 after he's received the first phase of this, first two phases here. Notice what it says there in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Daniel did not understand what he received all at once here. He was troubled. And so he goes here to someone that stood by, most likely maybe an angelic being here that's standing near the throne of the Ancient of Days. And he goes to him and he asks the truth of all this. What does all this mean? And so I want to suggest to you that when we come to a passage like this, one of the things that we need to do is do what Daniel did. And that is, ask God to help us understand. James chapter 1 says, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And I don't think the Lord is going to give us any new revelation, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit can illuminate our minds and help us to understand something that at first glance can be very complex and even troubling. It was troubling to Daniel. Daniel had to come and say, what does all this mean? He had to come and ask here. So ask God for help as we come to a passage like this. Then I want you to jump down to verse 28 and notice what Daniel does at the end of this vision. Notice verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. I want you to notice what Daniel does when he feels like he does not completely understand something. Does he reject it and forget about it? Say, this is too hard. I need something more simple. No, that's not what Daniel does. Daniel may not understand everything that he's been given, but we see the second thing that Daniel does is that it seems like he takes the time to consider and think about what he's been given. And I want to suggest to you that that's a second thing we need to do. When we come to a passage like this, and things may be a little bit complex and hard to understand, instead of throwing up our hands and saying, we don't know what it means, this is too hard, we need to recognize that oftentimes that illumination and understanding takes time. And we have to determine that we're not going to reject it, but we are going to stop and think about it, allow the time to consider what is revealed here. And so for those reasons, I'm not going to try to cover the whole chapter tonight. I want to slow down and go through some of the sections here. And we do see the structure of the chapter is pretty easy to identify here. Verses 1 through 8 really is the first section, the vision of the four beasts. And then verses 9 through 14, we see Daniel seeing the judgment of the Ancient of Days and the eternal rule of the Son of Man. And then the final section comes in verses 15 through 28, and that is the interpretation of the vision. Daniel's given some help in understanding this, and also some additional detail about the vision as a whole that Daniel is given there. And so we see the structure there, but basically when we look at this vision, there are three phases to the vision. And we're just going to look at the first phase to this vision here tonight, and that is the four beasts. Now, the second phase is really has to do with the little horn that is introduced to us in verse 8. And then when Daniel is explains this vision, he expands on that little horn. There's a great amount of detail that is given concerning that little horn. And so that's the second phase of the vision. And then the third and final phase is the what Daniel sees about the Ancient of Days, the final judgment, and the eternal rule of the Son of Man. And that's really the final phase of Daniel's dream. So we're going to start by considering these four beasts that Daniel sees. And first thing I want to point out about these four beasts are really some keys to understanding these four beasts. We have in this chapter some keys that help us to understand. And the first key is given to us in verse 17. This is very helpful to understand what these are. So I want you to notice this in verse 17. Daniel has this explained to him very clearly. It says, "These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth." Okay? So there it is. There's a key. These four beasts are four kings. Along with that, I want you to notice something in verse 23. The fourth beast gets more explanation here, and that little horn we'll talk about later. But notice what it says in verse 23. "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it into pieces." So one of the keys to understanding this passage is understanding that these beasts that Daniel sees come up out of the sea each represent a king, and in conjunction with that, verse 23 tells us, a kingdom goes along with that. All right, so a king and a kingdom, these are interchangeable ideas in this passage according to what Daniel has explained to him. And that's really one of the most basic keys that we need to understand. These beasts represent kings and kingdoms. There's four of them here. Now, another key that we find here represented on this chart that I gave you, and if you look in particular on the side that says Antichrist and the times of the Gentiles, we zoom in on this section of Daniel where we are here. And you notice that there are, first thing you notice probably is this statue that is lying sideways on the chart. And that comes from Daniel chapter 2. Remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of this great image. And that image, remember, represented all of world history as well. So now we come to chapter 7. And there is a parallel vision that is given. What is it parallel to? It's parallel to that vision that was given to Nebuchadnezzar of this image. That image also represented four major kingdoms. This dream that Daniel has in Daniel chapter 7 represents four kings or kingdoms. And so a second key to understanding the four beasts is the parallel vision of Daniel chapter 2, this dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And so that's what this chart is depicting here. There is a parallel, there's a comparison between these two dreams. And so between the explanation that's given in Daniel 7 and the parallel to Daniel 2, we can come to some reasonable conclusions about this dream here. So the keys to the four beasts. Next thing I want you to consider about these four beasts is the character of the beasts. You notice that there is a difference in the way that the history of the world is depicted between Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. And some people have observed that Nebuchadnezzar's dream pictures world history from man's perspective. The shining metals, the glowing accomplishments. But then we have perhaps another perspective of world history and world events given to us in Daniel chapter 7. And the character of that is much different. And how does God depict world history and world kingdoms here in Daniel 7? Like wild beasts. Beasts that go around and devour things, and they're ferocious and fierce. And so we see something about the character of the nations of the world. Psalm 49:12 reminds us that, "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish." So we see something of the character of the nations of the world, the character of the four beasts given to us here. Next, I want you to see some of these individual beasts as they're given to us. And so we've seen the keys, the character, and then another C that goes along with that is the codes, all right? The codes of the four beasts. What are these beasts that are given here? Recently, our family, you know, we're trying to find something fun to do on a Friday night, and okay, what can we do? All right, we have some jigsaw puzzles. So last week, I think we all sat around and tried to work a jigsaw puzzle, and it was good. Took up, you know, half an hour, and that was really nice. But, you know, some of us need to learn how to work the jigsaw puzzles. And, you know, what happens sometimes is you get two pieces and they look like they should go together. And so what do you try to do? You try to just make them fit together. And, you know, this has got to go together, so let's just try to make it fit. But really, what's the problem? It doesn't go together. There may be two pieces of sky together, but they don't fit. The reason I say that is because, you know, when we come to a passage like this, it's very easy to try to make things fit. And, you know, we have all these beasts and we have all these horns and, you know, all these different things. And there's a lot of people that go around and say, okay, well, that's that, and that's got to be that, and that's surely how that fits together. And the problem is, there's no biblical basis for it. It just seems to fit together. Yeah, okay, we can see kind of how that fits. And so I think that's just kind of a warning there as we come to this, that we recognize there's a lot that we don't understand. And these things may be symbolic in their very detailed descriptions, but we don't know exactly because we don't have the the very clear Bible explanations. And one thing I appreciate about verse 17 is the very clear explanation. These great beasts, which are four kings. Okay, we can work with that. And, you know, that's Bible. And we can go from there. But I want us just to observe each of these four beasts. And I think there are some things we can note about them. The first beast that Daniel sees is the lion there in verse 4. First was like a lion, had eagle's wings, and beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And you notice on your chart there, the side that says the Antichrist in the times of the Gentiles, it seems like if we compare these two prophecies, that the lion would line up with the head of that image. And we know from Daniel chapter 2 that God very clearly said to Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold. You know, we know that the lion was a symbol of Babylon. We can find artifacts that show that, you know, this was kind of the mascot of Babylon. And, you know, we read about some of these changes that happen in verse 4. The wings were plucked off this lion. It was lifted from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And again, we come to something like that. We don't know exactly what all that means, but maybe it could mean, it could be a reference to the changes that happened to Nebuchadnezzar himself. That seems reasonable, but again, I'm not aware of any specific Bible that explains that. Then the second beast we come to is the bear in verse 5. Behold another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And so we have this bear. You notice there on the chart, if we're comparing that dream in chapter 2, the bear lines up with the silver section of the image there. Perhaps a reference to the Medo-Persian Empire, which we know came directly after the Babylonian Empire. And perhaps the lopsided look of the bear, I don't know if that's really depicted on the chart, but it's described here in the Bible, is a reference to the preeminence of the Persians over the Medes. It was the Medo-Persian Empire, but the Persians were definitely ultimately stronger. And then the third beast that we see here in verse 6 is described. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And so there again, if we're comparing the dream of chapter 2, we would come to the section there of brass, and most likely the Grecian Empire, and the leopard being an animal that is very fast. That could be a reflection of the speed with which Alexander the Great, the great leader of the Grecian Empire, took over the world, did it very fast. And then we're told that this leopard, in verse 6, had four heads. And when we look at history, we see that Alexander's empire was divided in four ways. His four generals divided up there. So that could be a reference to that. And then we come to the last beast here in verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had a great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this fourth beast, I'm not sure how it's depicted here. I'm not sure what that looks like. And the fact is, Daniel wasn't sure what it looked like either, because it's not described in any with any animal. He just says that it was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And so, if Daniel went to the Babylonian zoo, he couldn't think of anything that looked like this at the Babylonian zoo. There was just nothing. But we see that it was tremendously fierce. And again, if we're comparing to the dream in chapter 2, that image, we see a comparison there, perhaps to the Roman Empire, which we know comes next after the Grecian Empire in world history. And, this last beast seems to have some similarities there, particularly the iron teeth. And that's a metal that's used in Daniel's dream in chapter 2. Daniel also tells us that the beast has 10 horns here. And it seems that those 10 horns represent 10 rulers who will reign at the same time together at some time in the future. And, there are some people that feel that that's more of a non-literal 10. And they say, wait a minute, how can you have a non-literal 10? Well, some people say you can have a non-literal 10. And it doesn't really refer to 10, just non-literally. And when we look at how numbers are used, usually they're interpreted literally. And the natural interpretation would be that these do refer to 10 rulers at some time in the future, something that we've not seen yet up until this point in history, but something which will happen again in the future. And then verse 8 tells us what Daniel saw next. I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So this fourth beast has 10 horns on it, seems to parallel the section there of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which seems to represent the Roman Empire. And these 10 horns come up, and then an 11th horn Daniel sees. And that 11th horn somehow takes over three of the other horns, three of the other kings, perhaps. And then that leads us really to the second phase of the dream. All right, so we're not going to get there tonight. But we come to the second phase of that dream. That second phase is all about that 11th horn. that comes up, that 11th ruler and all the things that he does. And as you can see there on the chart, you can follow that little arrow from that last beast, and it comes down there and it points to the Antichrist. That's really what that 11th horn symbolizes. The Antichrist and all the things that he does. There's a lot of information that's given to us in the Bible about the things that that 11th horn does. And then one final thing I want to point out here about the beasts, and then we'll stop. I know there's a lot of information here. Information overload. But if you can just get these four beasts, all right, that's the first phase of this vision that Daniel is receiving. These beasts represent the nations of the world, entire world history. And the fourth thing I want to point out here tonight is the fact that these beasts are controlled, the control of the four beasts. I want you to notice there, each one of the beasts, we see there with the lion in verse 4, we see something was given to it. A man's heart was given to it. We see in verse 5, with the bear, somebody says to that bear, "Arise, devour much flesh." And we see with the leopard in verse 6, it says the beast had four heads, and listen to this, dominion was given to it. The beasts come up and they look really scary. They represent all of the ferocious nature of the nations of the world. But yet the thing that we see about this vision is that they are under the control of God. And God, I believe, says to each one of these beasts, each one of these kingdoms, go do this, go do that. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. As ferocious and fierce as these nations are, they are under the control of God. Nothing happens that is outside of His will. And what an assurance, what a comfort that is to God's people in any age, whether it be people in Daniel's time that are wondering what's going to happen to us, whether it be people in this time that are wondering, what's going on in the world? What's going to happen to God, to God's people? God tells them that He is in control. He's in control of the nations of the world. And we can rejoice in that tonight. So that's the first phase, these four beasts. Now we're going to look at next week, Lord willing, the second phase, and that is the little horn. And then we'll get to that final phase, which is the judgment and the rule of the Ancient of Days, and the Son of Man. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank You that we can trust in You tonight. We can rest assured that You are in control of this world. And we may be discouraged and dismayed at things that happen, but we know that You allow it to happen for Your purposes. And we know that the history of the world is heading toward an end in which You will be honored and glorified, and Jesus Christ will be the King forever. How we look forward to that time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals.